What we're doing this morning is a little bit different, just for a change. Yeah, that's right. And I only really want to speak for about 5 or 7 minutes. Sigh of relief, please. Thank you. Because actually what I would like is for some of you to come up the front and speak. Groan, everyone, collective groan. But before we do, because we're going to kick off Joshua again. Is that a sigh of relief or groan? No. So we're going to kick off Joshua again, but I thought we'd call to memory the first 4 messages. And do you remember I made a point of using kind of tangible things to illustrate the point that was being made in the first 4 talks? So what we've done is that we have, I think the first one was that corner back there, and there are photos of the past, okay? And then I think the second one that we did was this one here, and I used a door to illustrate something. Have you all forgotten? Yes, of course you have. And then I think the next one was the Macintosh lollies. Was it the sand? See, that was a test. See, you just passed. I think the next one was the sand in that corner, and you'll be going to that corner soon. And then there was the Macintosh lollies. So I would like each of us to get out of our seats at this point and revisit those 4 places. And when you get to the Macintoshes, grab one, and lose your fillings, okay? So, and when you get to the sand tray, and no doubt you'll be gathering with people, talk. What can you remember? Now, you can't talk about what you're going to do tomorrow, and you can't talk about what you did yesterday. What can you remember from these 4? So the idea is to get to those corners and go to each and every one and take turns and talk to the person. What do you recall, if anything? And you might not have been here that time. Well, ask someone, okay? Do you mind doing this? Out of your seats then, go to it. We've got about 5 minutes, 7 minutes on this. Okay, guys, here we go. Now, I'm going to refresh your memory a little bit later. But before I do, actually, we've got Steve Miller here. Who knows Steve? He's the man in the hood, yeah. So Steve and I have had coffee. And do you remember I made mention of Steve a couple of weeks ago? You've got 6 kids, eh? 6. And I said, as far as you know, yeah. Steve is the pastor of the New Life Church, and Steve made mention, we're just sort of catching up with each other, and remember I said that I met someone during the week, and he had 6 kids, and he had this look of absolute delight on his face, and then I said some of us aren't like that, namely myself. So bless you, Steve, it's great. So Steve's on sabbatical. You just started? Yeah. So he's got the inevitable cold. When you start a sabbatical. So, yeah, it's good to have you here. Yeah. Okay. Ben, by the way, did you enjoy the worship? Wow, I thought that was awesome. Do you remember when Ben said, look, let's read from Acts chapter 2? Well, when we were having our prayer time before the beginning of the service, Ben said, oh, Mick, do you mind if I do something a bit risky? And I said, hey, we're all in for risks around here, come what may. And he said, I'd like to read a passage out from Acts chapter 2. So I said to him, awesome, go for it. What he didn't know, but the Holy Spirit knew, was that I also want to read from the same passage. And I had this planned some time ago, so bless you, brother, for being sensitive in the spirit. So have you got your Bibles? Could we go to Acts chapter 2? And as I say, I just want to speak for a few minutes this morning. Acts chapter 2. I've got mine on my iPad up here. Acts chapter 2. And I don't want to read the whole chapter. I've been parked in Acts chapter 2 all this week. It is the only chapter I have read. And you're thinking, gosh, he's a slow reader. I've read it over and over again, actually. So this is all I've read this past week. So let me read from verse 1, chapter 2, and it says this. By the way, does anyone need a Bible? We have got some spare ones around if you do need them. You were okay? Okay. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, and it says this. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then if you come down to verse 11, and it says here, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And then in verse 14, but Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed the crowd. And then if you come with me right down to verse 39, and Peter is still talking, as he is wont to do. And he says, for the promises for you, and this is the promise of the Holy Spirit, for your children and for all who are far off, everyone. And then it says, whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And then verse 42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayers, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day they attended the temple together, and they were breaking bread in their homes, and they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And then the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So, friends, I have 5 or 7 minutes, because I want you to share some testimonies of your life thus far this year. Be great to have some come up and speak. Tonight, I actually want to begin a series out of 2 Kings. And the topic tonight is that there is a God at the center of the universe who knows our future. So I want to talk tonight about the all-knowing God. Next Sunday morning, now I didn't plan it this way, but it just sort of dawned on me. Next Sunday morning, I want to pick up in Joshua, and Mary, you put me onto this. Because Mary, you came up to me some time ago, and you said, oh, the next verse in the book of Joshua is how the Lord's presence is with us. I don't know if you remember that. Do you remember that? And I thought, I'm going to change what I had in mind and actually look at that. So that's the God who is all present. So tonight it's the God who's all knowing. Next Sunday morning it's the God who is all present. And last Sunday was what Sunday in the Christian calendar? Pentecost Sunday. And when you think of the Pentecost Sunday, Acts chapter, what comes to mind? 2. In other words, the all-powerful God. So last Sunday, all-powerful God. Tonight, all-knowing. Next Sunday morning, all-present. Now, Augustine. Who's read Augustine here? No, you don't use that to try and get to sleep. Okay. Augustine, what he did in about the 4th century, he tried to find words that could describe what God is like. So he plunged into a bit of Greek philosophy, and he came up with 3 words. You know them, actually. Yeah, Steve, you can shut up at this point. Okay. So there are three words that he came up with. What are they? The all-powerful God is omnipotence. The all-knowing God, omniscience. The all-present God, omnipresent. Now, those three words are not biblical words, but they represent biblical truths. So actually, it didn't dawn on me to quite recently that that's the next three. But of course, last Sunday's gone. And of course, we had Shelley on last Sunday. And I sort of kicked myself because I would have loved to have talked about Pentecost Sunday. Because it's about the all-powerful God. Now, when you think of a God who's all-powerful, I don't know what comes into your mind. So I thought we'd just show a bit of a clip at this point from the film Bruce Almighty.
Who's yeah. Seen,
oh, hold on.
Maybe. I am great. Yeah.
I'm my cue. So the Bruce Almighty film, you know the story behind the film, eh? God actually gives him the ability to be all-powerful. And then he tries to be this all-powerful God. This is Bruce, Jim Carrey. So, Neville, now let's dim the lights and watch this.
I am good.
Grief, is that what I'm driving?
Gets me from A to B.
Oh, darn.
All this horsepower and no room to gallop.
Hey, who's here?
Certainly wouldn't want to be a fugitive on the run with Hank, Buffalo's number one police dog, on the job. This is Phil Seidelman reporting from the Police Canine Training Center, Channel 5 News. And cut it.
Hey, look what the cat coughed up. Channel 7, right? You're the guy that went crazy.
I had a bad moment.
What are you doing here?
Just looking for a story?
There's no story here. This pond is all fished out. Standard stuff anyway.
I don't know. My instinct tells me there's something more.
Yeah, we'll go with that. It served you well in the past, right?
Hey, Hank found something.
Hey, we got a body.
Get the camera, now!
Oh, the keys are inside.
I guess every dog has his day. Hey, kid, you want to make $10?
Sure.
You know how to use one of these things?
Duh.
Seems to be in tune. Let's do this.
The body of Jimmy Hoffa was uncovered in a field today outside okay, of a canine a cool training question. Center in...
So, I mean, some people have this idea that God's power is like Bruce Almighty. Is that right? In other words, stick with me on this. They have this idea that the all-omnipotent God can do the logically impossible. That he can create a stone that is far too big for God to pick up. Did you work that one out? In other words, for God to be really powerful, he can do the logically impossible. That is absurd. Other people have this idea that for God to be all-powerful, he can do anything with anybody at any time. Now, you all know that's not true. Just this last week, I got an email from someone in Christchurch. It's a remarkable healing story. Friends of mine. Her husband was remarkably, dramatically, supernaturally healed. The doctors verified this. Quite incredible. But is everybody healed? We know that's not the case. So, We haven't got a God who does the same thing with everybody all the time in every place. That is not what it means for God to be all-powerful. Thirdly, some people have this idea that for God to be all-powerful, he can walk all over you and deny you your will. That he's got these big boots and he just stomps all over people and coerces people to do what he wants. You read the Bible from cover to cover. That is not the kind of God that we have. In fact, the kind of God that we have is that he is more known for divine shyness. He actually gives people a lot of room to move. He actually takes a step back. He actually gives people space to walk and move and to choose. We do not have a God. We have a God who influences people, but we don't have a God who coerces people. Am I right or am I right? So those are not the pictures of an all-powerful God. Doing the logically impossible, doing the same thing with all people in all times and places, and coercing people. That is not what it means to be all-powerful. So what does it mean when it says that God is all-powerful? What I would like to underline this morning is this, is that our God is an enabling presence. Who said amen to that? I like that. Our God is an enabling presence. And when you read Acts chapter 2, our God enabled certain things to happen. I mean, number one, he enabled people to receive a power that is greater than themselves, in themselves. I'll never forget the day I was filled for the very first time with the Holy Spirit. Absolutely fantastic. And then we read in Acts chapter 2 that he enabled people to speak in tongues. Now, I speak in tongues. I make a spiritual discipline of mine when I'm traveling on the road never to turn the radio on, but rather just to drive and speak in tongues. And people say, well, what is this tongues thing? It's a beautiful, intimate, deep prayer language. It's a love language. Not everybody has to receive this particular gift, but it's a tender, intimate love language. So God enables us to speak in tongues. And then you read on in Acts chapter 2, and he enabled Peter to stand up and speak. Prior to becoming a follower of Jesus, I'd never given a public talk in my life. After I became a follower of Jesus, that's the first thing I wanted to do. And I believe it was an enabling presence. Are you with me? And then you just keep on reading here, and it says that he enables people to come to know Jesus for the very first time. People can't self-choose to know Jesus. They need Jesus' help to know Jesus. And that is through the enabling presence of the Holy Spirit. And then you get right to the end of the passage here, and it talks, oh, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. They devoted themselves to one another. They were enabled to be fully devoted followers. And then they were enabled to empty their pockets and to give generously, sacrificially. And they were enabled to worship, to sing, to share, it's just awesome. The enabling presence. So my question this morning is this. Have you been enabled this year in anything? Now, it may be one of these four things. No one got the door. So the first one was the photos. And has God enabled you to capture something of the past that needs to be captured, remembered, treasured, brought back to the present? That was that one. Do you remember that one? Okay. And then, what was the next one? Ruby, what was the next one? Was it the door? I think it was the door. Did anybody get the door? So that is a closed door to you. Okay. The door. The door. I gave a brilliant talk.
Ha ha ha.
that no one remembered. On courage. And I said that courage had nothing to do with Dutch courage. You know Dutch courage? You know, have a big swig and full of bravado and you march out because you're all kind of anxiety-free because of having a good swig. And you take on the world, that's Dutch courage. But I talked about another form of courage. And the other form of courage was that the word courage in French has to do with the heart. And actually, biblically, to be a person of courage is to do that which is in your heart to do. And then I went on to say that actually courage is what is called a primary virtue. And everything hinges upon it. Thus the door. Have you got it? Now, okay. Bit too deep. And then there was the sand. Tell the person next to you what the sand was all about. Go to it. Okay, guys, did you get the sand? It was quite a memorable Sunday, actually. The whole idea is that God can enable us to be walkers. And especially to walk towards difficult and different people and places. Yes? And we all walked, remember? And it was up the here, the front. And then finally, the Macintoshes. And we did that Sunday morning on Lecto Divina. Yes. And sitting with a Bible passage and what is it? And meditating. The word was hagar, which means to chew. So, since we last did Joshua, have you been enabled to dig up something from the past? Have you been enabled to do that which is in your heart to do? Have you been enabled to walk towards someone, a neighbor? Have you been enabled to sit with the Bible afresh and receive from it? But it may be in some other areas. I mean, you know, there are some people in our world and they've got EGR scratched on their foreheads. EGR, extra grace required. Have you got some of those people in your life? Extra grace required. You know, I live with one. And just get me back for that one. And you know, there are difficult people. Hey, come on. But we can be enabled. No, honestly, we can be enabled. And I don't know. Look, let me be honest, and then I'm going to hand the mic over. I would have to be honest, friends, and say that the last 4 months have been extremely difficult for me. And I think I've shared this in a couple of forums. And I've really, really struggled as a person. I didn't realize that leaving the itinerant world that I was a part of for nigh on, you know, and then sort of coming into a local place would be so difficult. And there were some weeks and months there where I kind of felt trapped because I had been like a soaring eagle. You know, I'd flown all over the place quite literally. And then we loved our place in Mungaree Bridge. Let me be honest. And to come to Southmore, which is a bit of a bleak area. I mean, you look at the national statistics, you know, I mean, they're not good. And that was a bit of a a corner for me. And then I started to think, me being a pastor, have I got what it takes? You know, there were a number of times where I looked myself in the mirror at home and thought, have I really got what it takes to do this? And, you know, I was full of self-doubt, to be honest. And so then I started to do something quite different on my day off. I have Mondays as a day off. You know, when I began the year, I thought, oh, I just got to, you know, get out and do stuff, you know, on my Monday off. But I noticed that when come Tuesday morning, I wasn't in a good frame because I was struggling as a person. So I mixed up my Mondays. And what I do now on a Monday is on Monday morning, and I know this will sound, but you'll get to learn, just think, oh, well, that's Mick. On Monday mornings now, I go for a long walk along a beach in a park or something, and I just have a morning of contemplation, meditation, and prayer. And then in the afternoon, I play. So Monday morning is pray, Monday afternoon is play. And that's how I do Mondays now. And me coming into that enabling presence on Monday morning has really helped. And I'm noticing that a shift is occurring now. So I've really been appreciative of God's enabling power. How about you? I'd like to open it up for some people, just a few, to come up and share. How has God enabled you in the last 3 to 4 months? So is anyone? Just very briefly. Oh, Margaret, you're such a treasure. Bless you. Good on you.
I'd like you to tell you a story about what happened to me on this walking incident, but I'd just like to pray first. Dear God, I just pray for strength to speak wisely and to just, by your Holy Spirit, to enable what you want to say through the story. In Jesus' name, amen. Basically, I was just walking along, as I usually do, and I came across, I don't know if you've seen those, what do you call them, those pictures, the murals, and there was a guy, he was actually painting the mural. And he was painting like a devil on the scene. So I went and spoke to him and challenged him about it. And I said, I don't like that devil there. Can you change it to something else? I just sort of feel it would be better to have something a bit more constructive. So we had a conversation about it. And he was sort of thinking about it. And then this other guy came along. And we were all having a three-way conversation about it, about this devil and this, you know, what we thought about it. And next minute, I had quite a conversation with this other guy. And the heavens just absolutely opened up. They just pelted down. It was just a torrential downpour of rain. And I felt, this guy said he needed to get somewhere where I was going. And I just sort of thought in my heart, well, maybe I could take him. So I sort of said, okay, I'll take you to where you need to go because it's on my way. And then I stopped and thought, am I being wise? Because I don't know this man. And I said to him, look, I don't know if I'm being very wise taking you in my car. Would you just like to take my umbrella? I'll give you my umbrella. And he said to me, you don't need to worry. I've been a teacher and I've told you my name. My name's Don and I'm sure it would be all right. And I just, in the whim of the moment, said, okay, I'll take you. So I took him in the car and we went up the road and I dropped him off. And just as I was about to say goodbye to him, I had some tracts in my bag and I don't give them out all the time. But I really felt I should give him a tract. So I just said to him, look, I really feel I should give you this. And he said to me, I don't believe in coincidences. And he said, I have been into churches before, and I'm really interested in this. So I said to him, well, would you like to come to church on Sunday with us? And he said, I'll think about it, and I'll give you my number, and you can give me a ring, and we'll see if you can come. So I went home, and I was really excited. I thought, this is great. I've met someone, and maybe they're coming to church. And I told John, and I told a few other people from the church, and we just prayed that this guy would come. Well, to my excitement, the next day, I rang him up, and he said he would come. So we met him at the bus stop on the road, and he came to church, and that was really, really exciting. Then we had him back for lunch with another couple that had come for the first time, but it turned out that Don was a scammer. And he was asking for money, which John and I didn't feel comfortable about giving him because I said to him that we give out money to people who need it. And he had some story about something being stolen. But I'm sorry, I'm not very clear, am I? The other people that were with us, they gave him money. They said, we'll help you out. And it ended up that he was actually a scammer. He would ask for money and take it. And I really thought, well, what's God trying to show me through this? Because even though people make mistakes and they're not always honest and caring and kind, we still have to try and show them the gospel, because none of us is perfect and we still have to love them. So that's the lesson that I've learned. And I've also learned that maybe I wasn't wise taking that guy in my car, that I am a Manurewa, and that if he's scamming, he could have... Well, I could have been anywhere. It doesn't matter where we are. We still had to look out for ourselves, and maybe I shouldn't have taken him in the car. That was not wise, and we still have wisdom from God. So I've learned a lot from this lesson, but I still want to pray for Don, that he would still come to that knowledge of Jesus. And that's my story.
Excellent. Anybody else? We've just got time for a few, but it would be great to have. Yeah, just very briefly, bro.
Okay, well, quite often I go out to the streets and South Mall and stuff and just kick it with the streeties and a lot of the, well, less desired of society. Anyway, last week I was walking South Mall and I saw my bro Dada and his missus, the two sovereign addicted glue sniffers, sit up there all the time sniffing. But anyway, walked up to him. That I was like, bro, do you want a pie? Took him and his missus for a pie. It's like, it's just blown away. Tears in his eyes. I was like, nothing to me, mate. What's $10? Okay, it's a little bit of money, but I mean, it's all about, you know, our heart stepping out the boat, taking the risk. I mean, the things I've done, and I think back and thought, whoa, that was risky. It's like, but just trusting God, that's what it's all about, and sharing the love of His word and His ways with everyone you encounter today. Sweet. Oh,
cool. Anyone else like to share something? Yeah, Frank. Yeah, cool. Scotty, could you go get Caitlin for us? She's with the kids over in the building there, I think. Do you mind, Scotty? Thanks, bro.
On Friday night, Tricia invited me to it was a farewell for one of her staff members at Papadoto High School, a lady that I taught with for a number of years. She'd been 30 years in teaching, and so we gathered at someone's home, and it was quite an unusual way. We had a kava ceremony, so and it was taken by Muslim teacher at the school, and so this was quite interesting for Christians to be there, and so we participated. And it's, if you're not used to kava, it's not a very, you know, nice drink, because everyone sculled it down except me. I couldn't scull it. I got halfway and I said, sorry, I'm gonna have to take a breath. Anyway, then people shared about the meaning of relationships, and I had a sense, wow, there's something special here. God's here. People are sharing from the heart. You've got Muslims and people don't believe in God. You've got, there was one or two Catholics and there was us. And I thought, wouldn't it be good if there was just a moment where somehow we could reflect and recognize that God's presence is here. Wouldn't it be nice? It's just in my mind. Anyway, I came to the food and someone said, oh, we have to get someone to say grace, someone, the lady in the home. I don't know how it came to me. So I was able to say grace, and I said it in a way in which it doesn't matter what religion or background or what your background experience is, I've sensed there's something very special here tonight in our human warmth, and I believe it's come from God. And I was able to say a little grace in Jesus' name, and I thought there was a little God moment that came.
Good on you. Anyone else? We're just waiting on someone. Good on Julian. Come on, bro. He's our local politician, Julian.
Not quite. Mine's similar to Frank's. I've been doing pet training at the Manukau Mall. It's peer employment training. It's not obedience school. And Basically, in mental health, we have five principles, and the fifth one is about spirituality. And we got onto the topic of sharing an opening and closing karakia or prayer at the class. And there was one guy there, I think he was a staunch atheist, he was saying, well, I don't really agree with having prayers before and after class, but, you know, for the sake of the class, I'll accept it. And I was able to say, well, you know, for myself, I'm a Christian. I always let people know that. And that, you know, even though there's a marketplace of ideas and worldviews, you know, we've got atheists, agnostics, Hindus, Christians, whatever. Even in Kiwi culture, like, spirituality is still core. So it's a good place to start for evangelism. Yeah.
Good on you. Yeah.
So, friends, we've just got time for... I just want to bring Caitlin up, and we needed to finish early because of the green room. We're going to sing How Great Thou Art to close our service off. But, Caitlin, if you could come up. Kate, now, do we all know Caitlin? Because I don't. Do you know her? You see, Dave has sort of been facilitating this whole thing, and I like to be the kind of person where I don't need to know everything. I don't want to know everything. And probably, possibly, half the things that happen around here, I won't know. And I find that to be very liberating. So, so Caitlin, I don't really know you, and Dave has facilitated you coming here. So why?
Why? Well, I was here 4 years ago as part of a mission team, and I just kind of fell in love with you all. So I came back. I have an internship at Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. And I just used it as an excuse to come back and see you all. And I have a degree. I will be finishing a degree in children's ministry in December. Yep.
So Caitlin, where are you from? How old are you? Tell, who are you?
I'm 25. I am initially from Walnut, Illinois. It's a small little itty-bitty town in the middle of a cornfield. 1,500 people. But I live in Chicago. I've lived in Chicago for 3 years for school. Cold and hot all the time. There's no in-between. Yeah? Okay.
And what? How long are you here for? What are you going to do?
I'm here until August 6th. And I'm working with First Look, which I just came from. I'll also be working and helping in mainly music on Friday mornings. And I will also be developing materials for the creche, whatever, however you say it. And and also integrating the Orange curriculum, or the First Look curriculum, into the Kindy. So that's pretty much what I'm doing.
How are you supporting yourself?
Well, I raised around $3,000 before coming. and that's pretty much it. But I am helping families watch after the children. That goes towards my housing and stuff. Yes.
So what we'd like to do, if you don't mind, is that next Sunday morning we could take up a love offering for Caitlin. I mean, seeing she's come all this way to assist and to serve, I wonder if we could take up a love offering next Sunday morning. Would that be okay? Yeah, for Caitlin. They're not going to say no, are they? So welcome, Caitlin. It's great to have you here. No, really good. And we'll pray for you next Sunday morning. Is that cool?
Yeah.
Yeah. So can we give her a round again? And yeah.
All right, if you'd like to stand to your feet, we're going to finish with this wonderful hymn.